Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, your home of fantasy footy draft all year round. It's time to get ranking. We'll be releasing our ranks position by position, week by week over the next month, and we're kicking it off with our top 20 rucks. I'm your host, Doss. Cam McLaughlin and I are covering the AFL fantasy format, while Stevie Fizz and Jono Crockett are covering the Supercoach format. Cam McLaughlin, g'day, mate. Welcome to you. And are you keen to get stuck into these rucks?
Oh, I'm so keen to get stuck into these rucks. And hello to everyone listening to the superior show of the two shows that are running in parallel. And some might say the superior format as well, AFL Fantasy. Yes, we are well into ranking season after our hotly debated top 30 last week. We've kicked the drunk Mango Unchained Jono off the pod. And now we can get into the absolute real stuff. Now, we're taking a bit of a different approach on this pod. Usually, we kind of share our ranks maybe 5 minutes before the show so that we can identify some differences and get some talking points and all that sort of stuff. But we are going in bareback this time. We are finding out how shit each other's ranks are on the fly. So, we wanted to avoid the whole thinking behind it is we wanted to avoid any group thinking and sort of like making sure our ranks align because someone has a better take or a different take. So this is completely raw. Doss, before we get started, just a question.
Yeah.
At the gym.
The gym, yeah.
When you don't have an old man knee, what can you squat?
I cannot squat, Cam. This is an unknown fact about Dossie. Not a squatter.
You are going to have some trouble carrying me through this pod then, aren't you, buddy? I was hoping you'd say like 80. And I'd be like, yeah, you got me covered. That's fine. You'll carry this.
No, well, that is why the knee needs a rehab program, Cam. Never been able to squat. Unknown fact. But luckily, we've dropped the Statesman. He was part of the AFL fantasy crew last year. So we are now the official A team going into this one. So we'll be right. And again, this is the AFL fantasy format. We are going in blind, as we said, and we'll reveal our ranks five at a time on our way to a top 20. And we'll discuss as we go. Cam, do you want to go first with your 1 to 5?
Yeah, let me just crack this can.
Oh,
a bit tasty there. So obviously number one and going in at their own tier as well. So we're going to talk about tiering as we go through. Brody Grundy, number one in his tier, all by his lonesome. Number two, Max Gawn, also in a tier by his lonesome. Number three is Riley O'Brien. And number four, Jared Witts. Number five, Scott Lysett. And those three are in the same tier.
Wowee. All right. Okay, I think we've got one major difference here. And I'm surprised because I was expecting a few more, but my top four is identical, Cam. I've got Brody Grundy, Max Gawn, Riley O'Brien, and Jared Witts are my top four as well. Coming in at number five, and I'm willing for discussion as well, I have Rowan Marshall.
Whoa.
Yes.
I mean, look. It's, yeah, okay. So the one, we were looking up stats just before we started, because obviously Rowan Marshall's going to come up, and obviously it's going to be a hotly contested topic. Some people have him dropping because of the inclusion of Paddy Ryder. Other people have him maintaining with Paddy Ryder playing predominantly forward. The stat that we looked at, though, was, sorry, Ryder, when he played in conjunction with Lysett, Lysett took a 23% drop in fantasy output. If you apply that, look, different circumstances, but if you apply that to Rowan Marshall, you're looking at 76.23 as an average. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I think what Steve was saying is that when Rowan Marshall moves forward, he's actually a really athletic big man that can probably rack up a bit of more of a score when he's playing forward. I also think the fact that, like we said a few weeks ago as well, it was Stevie Fizz that made the point as well, that Paddy Ryder just misses games every year. And so in those games that he misses, you're going to see some huge scores from Rowan Marshall. But I do understand that his hitouts are probably going to drop. And we saw last year with Rowan Marshall as well, the second best hitout player at his club, he only averaged the 28 hitouts, Rowan Marshall. The second best player at his club was Josh Bruce, who averaged like 1.59, I think it was, hitouts. So it's a huge, huge dip. He was literally solo ruck last year and he only managed the 28 hitouts, but he put up the huge score of 99.2. And I still have sort of dropped him below a few others, but the thing that I see most here is that we might be overstating the importance for one of Paddy Ryder coming in. But the other thing is the guy that you've got there, Scott Lysette, I know he performed well in the end of the year and I'm pretty high on him myself, but he'll have to improve a lot to catch up to where Rowan Marshall was, and Rowan Marshall will have to regress a lot for them to sort of cross over. And I've just given the benefit of the doubt to Rowan Marshall, who's still young, still improving, and, you know, see how he goes with Paddy Ryder, but I'm not going to discount him that much yet.
Are you trying to sneakily say that you have Scott Lysette at six?
I am saying that is my sixth, is because Scott Lysette.
I would like to inform you that Rowan Marshall is my sixth.
There you go. But I think we should touch on those tiers again, Cam. You did mention them. I've got a same thing in terms of I've got Grundy at one, same old Grund and just a dominant ruckman. And then you've got Max Gawn in his own tier because he's generally about that 10 points or roughly 10 points worse than Grundy, but still 10 points better basically than the next guy below him. Maybe just discuss quickly about those top tiers before we move on as well.
Yeah, no, you nailed the points, right? Like there's such a gap between Grundy and Gawn, and then there's such a big gap between Gawn and the next. I mean, I genuinely think O'Brien can push 102, 103 this year, maybe even bigger. Mm. So we'll close the gap a little bit, but I don't see Gawn slowing down either. So I think the tier is probably still right. And then capturing O'Brien, Witz, and Lysette, I see them finishing similar. I can understand why someone would take O'Brien into their own tier. But if I miss him, I'm not going to be too sad to get Lysette and similar. So that's just how I've put them together.
Yeah, we should probably touch on O'Brien because I think a lot of people might think that's very high for him.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll just discuss why we think that he's going to take the bump to become that number three, especially he's jumping guys that average more than him. He's jumping Witz here and Marshall, but he was around that fifth overall in AFL fantasy last year, but we're popping him ahead of them. And it's mainly because obviously Sauce is gone. For me, this is my reasoning. Sauce is gone. He doesn't have to worry about him being there. We saw Sauce play a couple of times late in the year with O'Brien to basically, I think, up his trade value or whatever, just to see if he's still got it. And clearly that bumped his scores down a bit. So that's already bumped his scores down a little bit there. Plus, he's got upside in his disposal numbers. We saw him go over. He only averaged 15.33 for the season. He went over that a bunch in the second half of the season and really performed well in rounds 11 to 23. He averaged over 100, 102. And rounds 1 to 10, he averaged 87. So he improved across the season. We both, I think, see a little bit of regression in Jared Witz and potentially the question mark about Rowan Marshall. So that is the explanation for Riley O'Brien. I think, Cam, are you on the same page with me now?
Yeah, on the same page. Like, oh, it's pretty impressive in your first year as a solo ruck to go with 8 tons. Like, that's amazing. And you'd have to think he improves this year. He's still young. He would have learned a lot from last year. I don't think he'll go bigger. And on Witz, I think Witz is still going to be good. He might lose a couple of hit-outs, but he might also gain a couple of possessions if the Suns are better around the ground. So there's probably, you know, if for every 1 point he loses, he might gain one possession, evens out a little bit.
Yeah. Are you happy with that top five, Cam? Should we move on to our six to 10?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. So number six, obviously, Rowan Marshall. Number seven, and I don't feel good about this, but number seven is Todd Goldstein. Number eight, I have Timothy English. Number nine, Steph Martin. Number 10, Sean Darcy. And okay, as far as tiers go, it's one big tier from 6 to 9, and then Darcy starts my next tier.
Groupthink may be a thing regardless of what we try.
Really?
It's not that similar. Here we differentiate a bit. So obviously, Lysette at 6 for me, Todd Goldstein at 7 as well. don't feel good about it either. I've got him on the same tier as Lysette, to be honest, though, because I think there's question marks about both. Not question marks about Goldstein. I think Goldstein will stay, but it's the fact that Lysette will have to up his output a fair bit. I've got Tim English at 8 as well.
Wow.
I have Matthew Cruiser at 9, which is probably hot-ish take.
Yeah.
And then Sean Darcy at 10 as well. I don't have Steph Martin there, and I feel bad about it. I feel stupid probably a bit about Steph Martin. I'm just... The McInerney thing with Steph Martin, I think, is going to continue, and maybe you can take me through why you think that either won't or that you think he can just perform continually with McInerney. Maybe just take me through Martin and our differences there.
Yeah. So for me, Steph Martin, last year was his worst average in years, and it was a significant drop. It was about a 10 or 11 point drop from memory. And I think, you know, whilst the big O did sort of fill in pinch hit in the ruck, it was still mainly Steph taking the hit outs and at the center square. The problem with Steph is that he is aging. He is more of that old school tap ruck, and his taps were well down last year, and that's where he lost a lot of his output. When you get to this point in your ranks, it's not bad to think that Steph can go 88 again or 90 again, and I think that's probably about right for your 9-10. If you're taking a ruck at, you know, and it's the ninth ruck off the board, and you're expecting 100, you're probably looking at it unrealistically. And if you're expecting a 70, you're probably maybe oversell or underselling it. So for me, Steph is probably about that 9-10, and I, as I'm saying, I've got him at 9. Can you walk me through Cruiser?
Yeah, to be honest, now I'm looking at there, it doesn't look right to me. Now
Cruiser.
That, I don't know if that's just slipped through the cracks, but I think my reasoning there was because he's the solo ruck there, and I know the injury risk is his major concern, but he still just bangs out the 30-odd hitouts. Like, he averaged nearly 31 hitouts last year, and if you just start there, that's a nice score build. Never goes too much over that, but I think in an improving side, look, his injury risk is the major thing, and with Steph Martin banging out 22 games a year, it's very disrespectful on my behalf, I think, from what I've done. but I think with Steph Martin hitting 33, I'm just concerned, and I do take a discount higher than a lot of people on hitting like an older age bracket. And he honestly, despite some huge scores, like just the eye test for me, he looked washed at times last year. There was a few games where I was like, geez, is he like, this isn't Steph Martin anymore, you know? And there was times where obviously they've played McInerney a heap next to him, and it looks to me as if that's going to continue. Is there going to be a bit of more of a, even more of a swing towards McInerney playing more in the ruck? You can talk me into the fact as well that they might roll with more solo Martin next year if that's the way they're going to go. But
nah, I agree with you. Like, I mean, Twitter user Dom Sheed's Pocket, I think it's at Dom Sheed's Pocket, he mentioned that he reckons Steph's going to be in the kneeful by round 6.
Wow.
It's a big take, and I'm probably not on board with it. I don't think it's as severe, but I think the transition has started with Big O, and it's probably going to continue this year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Archie Smith get some games. But that said, Steph still pumps out scores. Like, he is very good at pumping out scores. I reckon he can go 88. But don't try and dodge the question with Cruiser. Walk me through Cruiser. How did Cruiser end up in your top 10?
I just think there's not, like, apart from the injury risk, he's one of the few guys that has no ruck competition. Like, who was the other person behind him getting hitouts last year? I think the only person we had was Andrew Phillips, and he's gone. And that was when Cruiser was out. So he's not going to have a shared ruck duty. He's always just going to be in there as the ruck when he's playing. So with Martin having the share, that's the main thing, like, between him and Martin. But I have Martin a little bit further down, to be honest. But I just want someone that's going to be in that pure ruck role and not have to share the duties, which I think there's question marks between a lot of the people below. And with Sean Darcy, we haven't seen a full season out of him. And even though we barely see a full season out of Cruiser, I'm thinking we need to see a full year out of Darcy before I give him, you know, the upper hand over Cruiser, who's been around a little longer. And I mean, he's healthy at the moment, right, as well. So I can't really
that changes that on it. Like, every day it's like even a slight breeze. But for me with Cruiser, like, he is the type of ruck that we talked about a lot last year that the 666 would affect, and it did. Like, his ceiling was pretty poor last year. He had one game of 122 in round 11, but other than that, he sort of floated between 70s and 80s. And I think that maybe, you know, it's a similar type of situation with Sauce Jacobs, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later, whereby he's probably going to be the sole ruck for the entire year, but he's not the type of player that can now score well as a ruck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just think his average per game, if you look at his average per game, it's not so different to all these guys we're talking about. Like, he averaged 0.5 less than Lysette, and or 1 point a bit less than Steph Martin. Like,
yeah.
Like if he's playing, I'm happy having him. Yeah, I think that's enough on Cruiser. Should we talk about any other players before we go to 11 to 15?
Yeah, I think Darcy was a good comment there. So I agree with you, and we need to probably see a season out of him. And there's still some hesitation around, is he going to be the number one ruck, or are they going to play Lob? You'd have to think that Lob plays forward.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, it's enough hesitation to make me, you know, I wouldn't be drafting him before. Like, we're hitting a tier now. So Sean Darcy started my next tier. And I would see this going anywhere from, you know, round 16 onwards in your draft. Like, I don't think you'd start this tier that early.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where Lob's playing ruck at all, like, in Freo. If Darcy's healthy, he's playing ruck for mine. But the thing that concerns me is his body at, you know, I just want to see him shred down a bit. It concerns me how big he is in today's AFL. I no doubt he can score, but injury-wise, like, he is a big dude still, and just he hasn't trimmed down like I thought he would over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's still got that puppy fat.
He does. Yeah. All right, let's get to 11 to 15, Cam. Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I've got Nick Natanui coming in at 11, then Matthew Cruiser at 12, Big Boy McAvoy at 13, Sauce Jacobs at 14, and I actually have Sam Naismith coming in at...
Naismith.
Yeah, that's right. Naismith. It's the right way to pronounce it. Don't let DOS prove otherwise.
Oh, dear.
Naismith at 15.
Okay. Now, we have a lot of differences here. I'll go through mine. 11, Ben McAvoy. 12, Steph Martin. 13, Toby Nankervis. 14, Nick Natanui. And 15, Reece Stanley.
Wow.
What do you want to talk about, Cam? Which one should we start with?
Many things.
I think we need to talk, because I know that he's not for ages on yours. Let's talk about the Nank.
The Nank. So, yeah, he pops into my list at 20. And look, he didn't perform well last year, and he was injured a lot last year. So I'll give you that. There's probably some scope for improvement if he gets consistent games and plays well. But Richmond were pretty poor in the ruck last year across the board. So they had Ivan Soldo taking it when Nank was injured, and then they played both of them through the finals. Nank ranked 23rd for hitouts per game in the entire comp. Now, given that there's only 18 teams in the comp, he's ranking worse than second rucks at this point for hitouts, which is pretty poor form. And it was actually less than Ivan Soldo as well. So technically, he's the second worst hitout ruck in their team. They're a really handball happy side through the midfield, so much so that they were ranked 15th in kicks and 12th in marks per game last year. And so if he's not able to get the kicks and marks as frequently as your top tier guys like Brody Grundy, Riley O'Brien, and Max Gawn, then like, where's he building his score if he's not getting hit outs? I think it's quite challenging, especially if they do run with a two ruck setup, then there's every chance that he's a 70s ruck.
No, that's a fair call. I knew this one was going to be contentious, and in my opinion, this is what I'm going with. Like, I think he's easily still the preferred ruckman at Richmond. I think he just didn't... They rushed him back to play finals. Like, they clearly wanted him in there. And I believe he'll be back to being the predominant ruck in 2020. And I honestly question whether they will go with the dual ruck setup in 2020. Who knows? And we can start saying this year too, I suppose, instead of 2020. But
I mean, they won the premiership with it, though, right?
I know, they did. They also were doing pretty well during the season without it. And this is what I want to go through as well. Like, they don't need hitouts to dominate. They came 18th in hitouts in 2017, 17th in hitouts in 2018, and they jumped up to 15th this year with probably what you're saying, a bit of the Soldo extra hitouts. But yet they dropped to 18th in clearances in 2019. Yeah. And perhaps that could be because Nank is actually not too bad a clearance player for Richmond, despite Richmond tending to have low clearance numbers. He did finish fourth at the club in 2018 when he was healthy. So he was actually getting some pretty decent clearance numbers in the Richmond system as well. We also forget he's only 26. He looks about 35, but he's 26 years old. He's still in his prime. And I just think Richmond, they love him. They prefer him. And I just think they might also bring in some of the young kids to give a chop out this year. So, like, say a Coleman Jones, maybe the Mabor Chole or Bolter or something.
I thought you were saying my boy Chol, and I was like, geez, that is a stretch.
That's his name. But I think it spells more of an 80-20 split than a 50-50, because I think Soldo, like, I think that was just a perfect setup for Soldo, and he did an awesome job. But I'd be skeptical thinking that he's going to be in their plans for this year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my Nank call. Was there any other players there we need to talk about? Nick Nat, perhaps?
Yeah.
You had him pretty high.
Yeah. His scoring potential is just so high. Like, you look at the scores at the end of the last set of the season and the time on ground. It's like 60% time on ground for 90 points. Like, just bizarre numbers. And I think that, you know, given a full preseason, which he's doing, he's had those Ricos, and Ricos on a big ruckman are always terrible because you're always jumping and you've got like a billion kilos that's coming down on your knee. Mm. But man, if he can string a couple of like the preseason together, there is a good chance that he can pop out a 90 average.
Yeah, there's no arguments here. I just had him down there due to injury and concerns on the time on ground. Like, is he going to jump? If he jumps up time on ground, man, I'm all about the Nick Nat. I just wonder if he is.
Yeah.
He should this year.
I find it really hard to believe they would pay someone that much to have 60% time and ground when he has such an impact when he's there.
Let's move on to your 16 to 20, I think. Let's get this going.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. We have Andrew Phillips. I've got quite high there, so that might be a bit of a spanner in the works. I have Rhys Stanley, Jonathan Segler, Toby Nankervis. I think that's it. I think I mentioned one too many. Yeah, I mentioned Naismith when I maybe shouldn't have. And that's it.
All right. 16 for me is Sam Jacobs. 17, Sam Naismith. And this is... I will talk about Sydney in terms of... I think one of three guys for me for Sydney is going to be in the top 20, and that's it. So,
yeah.
Sam Naismith at the moment, I'm so concerned about not hearing anything from Sydney about Sam Naismith. He's still on the injury list. Him and Callum Sinclair are still on the injury list at the moment. Like, as in, I saw an article just saying they're still rehabbing or whatever. Like,
yeah, right.
Recently. So they're not in the main group. I hope they are now as of time of recording. I haven't seen anything that they are though. But I will say we saw Mickey Knoll fourth in the time trial. Finishing fourth in the time trial. I have some stats I'll go through just at the end of the show for a bit of a thing. But it's got to be Sam Naismith or one of those other two guys. Cal Sinclair, if he gets the big gig, which I doubt thoroughly. And Mickey Knoll, come on, he's in there. I don't think they're going to go with Hayden McLean. He's 194 centimetres. I don't think he's the guy that they're going to try and go. And Alirelia just didn't work. So one of those three guys for me. At the moment, Sam Naismith at 17. Belcho at 18. You've got Phillips as the preferred ruckman. I still think they're going to go with Belcho, but you could probably talk me into Phillips. 19, Rory Lobb. And 20, Jono Patton.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can you walk me through Patton?
Yeah, I mean, I've got him averaging more than the guys below him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, brilliant.
Segler's the other guy you're talking about. I think all his best games were against crap teams or when McAvoy was injured or playing at fullback.
Yeah.
And they brought in Jonathan Patton, who I think is going to be the guy that if anyone pinch hits, I think it'll be him. I think Segler might be playing twos.
Yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. I see Segler playing ones, but
where's he going to play?
Yeah, I see your point. Like, I think Patton will be the key forward. I think he may be, and Mitch Lewis will be support, and they may play a third tall in Segler, would be my guess.
Okay. That's my... Yeah. This is where rucks are going to just be jumbled, I think, a lot in preseason based on what we see and what setups coaches are going with.
Because
if we see, like, for instance, if Richmond are rolling Nank and Soldo and that looks to be the setup, then Nank drops for me, clearly. Depending on health, if Naismith or Sinclair or my boy Mickey Knoll are going rearing hot in the preseason, that's going to change where they go. So these guys are probably the most movable. And like, obviously, Caruso is soft tissue and he plummets down to like 50. But
yeah. And I mean, this, as far as tiers go, like, this is my final tier.
Yeah.
Like, you could basically throw a blanket over the rest of the players in the comp with the exclusion of probably Noah Bolter, who is named forward. I mean, ruck, for some reason. But Andrew Phillips and Belcho, I think, is really interesting because I think Belcho is done. Like, I just don't think he's actually very good in this format. So in 6-6-6, I think he's maybe a bit exposed and can't provide as much. And also, he was beaten for hitouts a lot like a lot. He was ranked bottom 20, so like post 20 in the comp for hitouts, which is pretty poor. Andrew Phillips only played the 5 games at Carlton, stuck behind Cruiser, who put together that, you know, for some reason he put together a pretty good injury almost free season. But Andrew Phillips, like in those 5 games, had more hitouts than Belcho.
Yeah, I think it's a small sample size, and I think you'd find that some of Belcho's numbers would be distorted by injury as well. He surely had a couple of injury affected games.
But that still to me says, like, you've got Phillips, who is super athletic,
yeah,
super lean, like can get around the ground. Maybe that's the kind of person that they need to give service to some of their other midfielders. Like when you look at Belly, yeah, so sorry, he was ranked 14th for hitouts. Essendon were ranked 13th for clearances in the entire league. Phillips, maybe he improves that. Maybe that's the stat that they focus on in the off season to actually give them a little bit better first service to your Shields, your Zerets and such.
All right, Cam, we've been talking about some pretty dodgy late options. How likely is it that these picks are even going to matter?
Yeah, not likely. Realistically, it's going to come down to your league size. If your league is, you know, 12 deep or 13 deep and you've got, you know, anything over a 4-man bench, it becomes super relevant to have a bit of a backup to make sure that if one gets injured, you're not entirely down a player. And my league is a 5-7-1-5-8 this year, so we're going deeper on the bench. And so for our league, I'd suggest it's probably going to be quite relevant to have a backup ruckman. But otherwise, in a standard league with a 4-bench, I don't think it's relevant to go past, say, 12 or 13.
All right, so jumping back to our guns in the draft here. Last year, we felt like drafting Grundy first overall hampered you a little bit, getting him number one overall in that draft strategy. That turned out to be, well, completely wrong, Cam. But do you think this year, considering there's a heap of questions or variation in midfield ranks, could there be some merit in drafting McRae first overall with the expectation he just continues to dominate and maybe picking up someone like one of your next tier down, not your Gorn, you won't obviously get him, but maybe like a Riley O'Brien or a Jared Witts with another early pick or even punting rucks, which we will talk about in a moment.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, it's the safe answer is to say draft Brody Grundy and be really happy about it. But then,
But then
when you're coming back, say you're in a 10-team league and you're coming back to your next picks and it's Snake, there is every chance that your 1-2 mids may be someone like a Nat Fyfe, Rory Sloane or Elliot Yeo. And you kind of have to wonder if that, like, you might be entirely comfortable with that, knowing that Brody Grundy is going to get you 120. But then Brody Grundy gets injured and, you know, all of a sudden you don't really have that high ceiling anymore. And it can be a bit of a problem for you. I think your point around, you know, if you were to take McRae and then take a Riley O'Brien in, say, maybe around 4-6, I think that's pretty good because you end up with McRae first. You might sneak in another key position there and 2 mids, and you're looking pretty good.
It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
It is interesting to think about, but I don't think too many people will have the stones to go against the Grund at this stage.
It's big cojones for sure.
Oh, yeah. The next question, I reckon, comes back to tiering, but at what point do you think hashtag punting ruck could be a viable option? And by punting ruck, we mean once these top ruckmen are gone, say Grundy and Gorn, that could be the limit, or we could extend to the tiers of what we've got anyway as Riley O'Brien and Jared Witts, and your tiers could be completely different as well. But once you've passed those rucks that you think, you know, 100 plus essentially, that means punting ruck would be you just don't pick them until bloody very late in your draft, and maybe you're just happy taking the 12th ruck option if you're in a 12-team league.
Yeah, and so for me, I think there's 3 tiers at the top of the draft where, you know, Grundy obviously tier 1, Max Gorn tier 2, both will probably go in the first round. Then the third tier, I think there'll be a bit of a rush between rounds, you know, between 4 and 6 for the Riley O'Brien, Jared Witts and Scott Lysette. If you miss that tier, I think you're better off waiting until the end of the draft because you're very likely to be able to pick someone like a Nick Natanui, a Matthew Cruiser, a Sam Jacobs, a Ben McAvoy, even a Steph Martin. Steph Martin could be the 10th best ruck going into draft. which is just crazy, right?
If Nank can bounce back, I know you don't think he will, but if he comes back to something similar to what he was averaging, you could pick him up super late as well.
Yeah.
And like that, to me, I really like punting rucks this year if I don't get one of these big dogs. I'm still not totally against. This doesn't mean we're against drafting Grundy or Gawn or those top guys. It just means once they're off the board, maybe just draft your other positions and wait for that cheeky ruck at the end of your draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you are about to hit the ruck rush for Riley O'Brien, Witts and Lysette, and someone takes Riley O'Brien, maybe take Witts as your next pick. But if you miss that completely, just wait. Totally just wait. It's awesome at the end of the draft.
That's it. All right, one last thing. We're going to talk quickly about handcuffing. We know a few people like to do this, but for those who don't know what the term handcuffing is, it's only really ever used in your ruck department, but it's a strategy whereby you draft two players at the same club in the same position with the knowledge that if your first tier ruckman gets injured, you've got the other person that will replace them on the field. So you wouldn't do this in a standard league, but in your deep leagues, the one you'd have to say this year, Cam, I'd say is Lysette Laddams.
Yeah, it's probably the only one that I think is really relevant. There's maybe a case for, you know, potentially going something like a Bombers duo. So we did talk about Belcho and Phillips. You could probably get both of those very cheap at the end of a draft anyway. Otherwise, maybe Darcy Cameron and Grundy, because there's no real other option if Grundy goes down at the Pies, so that could be useful. That's probably it.
Even a filthy Cruiser Pitney combo could be gross, but might be what you need.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I think that's pretty much it, Cam, isn't it? Rucks.
Rucks.
Alright, well, we'll see you next week. We have Defenders next week. That's going to be very interesting, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.